ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
In our last class, we had been talking about almost 11 grades of Ananda. All of them are manifestations of Brahmananda, but they are limited. A loka, by definition, is a mind. Mind is limited by time, space, and causation. And whatever is measured by the mind is limited by time, space, and causation. This is one of the main reasons why there is no eternal hell according to Hinduism. Neither there is eternal heaven. Because this word eternal is a concept in the mind. A long time is called eternal. That's absolutely a false understanding. That which is the highest limit of the mind is called eternal. But that's not the truth. We have no concept either about infinite time or infinite space or infinity itself. Everything that we think is absolutely limited. And this small reasoning is not observed, understood, well thought over by none of these other religions. It is only Hinduism which very deliberately, but with a purpose behind it, it employs what is called upapatti or logic. As we thought earlier, logic cannot prove either God or non-God. Neither can it prove, in fact it cannot prove anything in this world. Only what is temporarily experienced is considered by us as real. But to our great grief and terrible agony, we do come to understand that what is changing, not only changing, but ever changing, never for a moment ceasing not to change. That is what is called kala pravaha, the flow of time. It cannot be relied. If somebody says, I love you, don't rely upon it, because it becomes a love. So, there is only temporary happiness. Even Brahmananda, the highest ananda that is possible, is also very temporary. But the descriptions go in a particular way, that in Brahmaloka, the time of Brahma lasts for Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Ahariyat Brahmano Viduhu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Te Aho Ratra Vidho Janaha. One day of the Brahma is 1000 of our yugas, and each yuga contains thousands of years. But God alone knows, if we really understand that concept, when we are in great suffering, every second is felt as if a yuga has passed. And when we are extremely happy, every yuga passes like a few seconds. So, it is all ever-changing. But why this topic has been raised here, Only the scripture can tell us. There are other worlds of higher happiness, etc. And what I am leading, really to speak, suppose a man goes to Brahmaloka. Going to Brahmaloka means becoming one with Brahma, the Ananda, the bliss Brahma experiences is called Brahmalokananda, the creator, not the Parabrahman, not the Supreme Brahman. So one who contemplates on Brahma, thinking that I am Brahma, he experiences, because if a man becomes one with a rich man, say, even in ordinary experiences, suppose a poor man marries into the family of a billionaire, and then the billionaire will not keep that person as a poor man for his own sake, because he loves his own children, his daughter or his son. So they will immediately make this person also part of the family. He enjoys all the, he or she enjoys all the facilities of the family. So what I am leading really is, if someone contemplates, he becomes one with Brahma, and whatever belongs to Brahma belongs to him, because upasana means absolute non-separation, absolute identity. But here the concept of for a long time it lasts. That is a very strange concept. How do our holidays, how long do they last? If I have taken 10 days holidays and go to a very nice place, stay in a very nice resort, and my whole day is passing so nicely, when I return back, I look back and say, "Arey, yesterday I went, and today I came back." How long will that happiness last? Time, or forgetting of time, is ananda. And remembering time is called suffering. So, I cannot understand this concept. For thousands of years, if somebody is going to stay in Brahmaloka, I can only imagine the poor fellow must be suffering terribly to feel that he is passing, every passing day appears to be a great yuga. The concept is that his ananda is almost near to the supreme ananda. What do I mean by that? I mean, as we gradually progress to higher and higher concept, or expansion of mind, then everybody's ananda becomes my ananda, because I don't see any difference between myself and the others. Through this process, when I attain Brahmaloka ananda, it's almost as if I attained the Supreme Brahman. That means I identify myself with the entire creation, because Brahma is the, in Purana, popular mythologies, he is called the Srishtikarta, the creator. Creator means, as we discussed so many times, not like a mother giving birth to a baby, but like clay becoming or appearing like a pot. So Brahma is not sitting there, and like children, like a woman giving birth to many children, is creating this world. He himself is manifesting as this entire world. And he knows whatever there is in this creation is me. So whatever a creature is experiencing will be Brahma's experience, because it is he. Now, a strange phenomena I referred to many times. That's why I am speaking, and I will speak many more times. One person is suffering, another person is enjoying. Does Brahma experience both the suffering and the enjoyment? No. Because for the same person to be experiencing at the same time both unhappiness and happiness is impossible. Why? Because an experience is possible only by a mind. And a mind cannot be divided into two. One is experiencing happiness, another is experiencing its opposite at the same moment. So when Brahma is experiencing both the happiness and unhappiness of the entire creation at the same moment, it means just as we experience the both the happiness and the unhappiness in a drama. So in a drama, just imagine one person is robbing another person. So that is why some people are habitually named, I don't ask me, Robin. So one person is grieving, he lost something. Another person is rejoicing, I gained something. But if it is a drama, we all enjoy both, because we know the person who is robbing and the person who is being robbed, they are mere acts. There is a mere play, mere show. It's not reality, but it is acting. That is what Bhagavan Krishna says in the second chapter, how a person should look upon or solve the problem, the greatest problem. So far, nobody solved that problem. Why is there so much of evil in the benign creation of a compassionate Lord? From the Lord's point of view, here is the answer. There is nobody who is killing, who is a killer. There is nobody who is also killed. It is all an act, a drama. Just like in our dream, we feel it is so real. So when we see a drama, a cinema, which is really produced very well, we feel the tremendous emotions, all the opposite emotions. And by the way, a great cinema or drama is great because it contains opposite emotions, tragedy and comedy. If everything is a comedy, two persons love, they get married and their life goes on, that would be so boring. So there must be tragic and comic elements, opposing elements. Two emotions must clash. So, what is the essence of what I am trying to tell you? First of all, Brahmalokananda, since it is an experienced ananda, it is a limited ananda. Because whatever is experienced must be experienced through an instrument. In our case, it is called the mind. In Brahma's case also, it is Brahma's mind. Only difference is, our identity with our limitation is very great. Everything is different from me. In the case of Brahma, he knows everything is me. How does he know? I gave many times an example. You are dreaming a terrible dream. Somebody came and is trying to cut your throat. Someone else comes and tries to save you. Suddenly you wake up and then you understand. The person who is trying to harm you and the person who is trying to help you, both are your own projections, your own self. One waker has projected himself into many different ways. That is why you recollect this again and again, and you are horripilating on one side and recollecting it many times on the other side. And if you sit and analyze, why am I recollecting such a horrible thing so many times? You must be getting some juice out of it. You must be really enjoying of it. So this is called Brahmalokananda. But all these come under reflected happinesses called Bimbananda, or limited happinesses, or happinesses that change. And as we know, if good changes, it becomes bad. If life changes, it becomes death. If happiness changes, it becomes unhappiness. And in fact, it is this change only that we call either happiness or unhappiness. If anyone is experiencing the same emotion without any break, he will not even know what it really is. That is the fact of life. Okay. So now, why all this? Because we believe this creation is real. And as we discussed in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, a wise teacher does not immediately say, no, no, you are very wrong, you are stupid, you are an idiot, you don't understand, there is no world. We are likely to give up that guru. That's why, yes, yes, you are right. So, a baby goes on telling, a big snake I saw crawling through my, underneath my cot. Yes, yes, mother says. But you know, we also saw it and we chased it out, we killed it, we threw it out. The baby is very happy. Now I am free. It is not going to return back tomorrow night. So, this is called, first of all, adhyaropa. Accept what we think is the reality and slowly guide us. And that guiding is what we said, that apavada. Apavada, as I explained earlier, is not negating our experience. That negation can become a very obstructive sadhana. No, no, this world is real, but there is another world which is better than this world. So you do these things, you will go to the other world. Then after some time, there is still a better world, still a better world, until one reaches Brahmaloka. And then we will have by that time a mature understanding. And then we understand, oh, there is something here, but all these are coming and going. I have to work so hard. Now you know, we are all people, that we, without work, if we can get, then it will be wonderful. Here is a marvelous piece of psychology for all of you. If I can get plenty of money so that I can own the bestest of all best things in this world, I will be very happy. It's so terribly mistaken an idea, because money doesn't bring happiness. Happiness is a state of mind and it has to be cultivated separately. So a person can be very happy without anything. Another person can be extremely unhappy with everything that he possesses. And the purpose of the scripture is to tell us how we can attain to the highest without possessing anything. And this without possession can be in two ways. A person like Janaka Maharaja, he has the whole kingdom, but he says, I am not the body, I am not the mind. I don't possess this body, I don't possess this mind. That I, which says, I am the body, or I am the mind, that has been destroyed long, long back. That is why he was called Videha Janaka. So one can have things. Having is not a problem. But when a person becomes mature, that person will not keep many things, because many things really bring more unhappiness. Where to keep? Which one to use? If you have got 100 brushes with different types of diamonds studded in it, you will take a long time to decide, today which brush shall I use? If you have got 50 breakfast items, if you have got just one item, you don't need to think anything. But that something should be which you love, and which is conducive to health, if you can choose wisely. That is why it is said, develop certain habits and fix your routine, so that you don't need to waste your time thinking about them. Shall I brush my teeth today or not, etc. So when a person attains Brahmalokananda, only at that maturity, suddenly he glimpses there is something infinite. So I have reached the parakashta, the highest of finiteness. Then only he understands there is something which is incomparably greater. That is called the infinite. That is called Brahmananda. That is the first difference. Second difference is, all this ananda I am getting is coming from something outside, an object. You call it Indra Loka, Chandra Loka, Prajapati Loka, Brihaspati Loka, and finally Brahma Loka. No, I am of the nature of ananda. And that is what the Upanishad wants to convey. slowly, lovingly, gradually leading a less equipped student, and when he reaches that state of maturity, then he is shown to the highest. So we already discussed about until Brahmalokananda. I don't need to repeat that one. Now we will enter into a Mahavakya. In this, do not forget, we are studying the 8th section of the 2nd chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad. So this, what is this Mahavakya? Sayaschayam Purushe Escha Asau Adityaye Sa Ekaha. Even in earlier classes also we discussed, Aditya is the representation of Brahman for us, because Srishti, this entire creation, is, as we say in the Puranas, Brahma Dirgha, Savarna Dirgha, Brahma. He is the creator. But this creator, we don't see. What do we see? The sun, the star of our galaxy. Imagine, let anyone try to imagine, suppose there is no sun. Will there be a moon? No. And if there is no sun and moon, will there be the earth? Will there be life? Will there be water? Will there be fire? Will there be air? Will there be the earth? Earth means food. Nothing will be there. It would be absolutely lifeless. That is why Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, Gama Vishacha Bhutani Pushnami Chaushadi Sarvaha Somo Bhutva Rasatmakaha Pushnami Cha Ushadi Sarvaha. So as the sun, I nourish. As the moon, I make the plants, the food, the medicines grow up. So I am supplying you food. But that food sometimes is hard to digest. Therefore, I myself am becoming Agni Devata on this earth. And with the help of that Agni Devata, we are cooking the food. Otherwise, we cannot digest many things. We could, but that age when we did not discover the fire, and so therefore no cooking, and therefore we were eating rotten corpses or killing animals. Perhaps you know already, but still, if you do not know, I am telling you, even if you succeed in killing an animal, you cannot eat its flesh instantaneously. That is why they use it to keep it for some days. Then it becomes slowly, something happens. It is called decomposition. Decomposition means that it becomes slowly fit to be consumed by people. Like milk is decomposed food from the mother's body is called milk. The same process applies to puppies, to kittens, to everything, every creature in this world. So, we cannot now, then man discovered fire and it made his food easily digestible. Therefore, he did not create fire, he discovered fire. Everything is a discovery. What is existing, a wheel is a discovery. So this AI that is coming now, it is also not a invention, new invention. It is a discovery of what is already existing. The same capabilities which the AI geniuses had, every baby since 50,000 years possessed, only it was not manifest. It has to be slowly cultivated. Now we are having this one. So, the fire, the sun, Aditya Narayana, now becomes Agni Narayana, helps us to cook the food so that it can be eaten, not digested. Only it can be eaten. But the same fire in the third form, that is called digestive fire, that is called hydrochloric acid in, I think, medical language. So that is what is happening. That is called Vaishvanara Agni. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha Pranapana Samayuktaha Pachamyanam Chaturvidham. So that prana, fire becomes prana. And that prana digest the food, and not only digest the food, because we cannot digest 100%, something will be left undigested, and that has to be thrown out, and that is the one of the functions of this prana devata. Through vomiting, through answering calls of nature, through sweating, etc., it throws out, and that is what makes us keep. So we are created, we are sustained, and we are also taken back. Srishti, Stiti, Laya, going on throughout the world, throughout the time, every millisecond, how many living creatures are born, not only human beings, but other, whether it is plants, whether it is insects, it is mind-boggling idea that we have. And that fact, that what you call Brahma, Brahmaloka, and what we call our own sun, here we see every day morning, that's why early morning we have to, first time we see, we have to remember, Aditya, Narayana, you are Narayana, you are Brahma, you are sustaining me. So you have become me actually, because the sun is the food. What are we? Food. So what are we? The sun has become, has taken another form. One is called mosquito, another is called mice, another is called man, another is called devata. The entire creation is created, means that same power, srishti sthiti vinashanam, shakti bhute sanatani, punashreye gunamayi, narayani namostute. And that Mahavakya is finally being told. Why is it being told finally? Because when a person attains to that Brahmalokananda, that means his mind ever enjoys unbroken bliss that happens in Brahmalokananda. And same thing happens in our minds without the least obstruction by its opposite called Dukkha or Nirananda. That is called Brahmalokananda. That is why our Sushupti is called Brahmalokananda. And what is this speciality of this Sushupti Ananda? You forget time. Whether it is only upon waking up, we realize, so I slept like a log. That is why you logged off from Jagrat Avastha, Swapna Avastha, logged into Sushupti Avastha, and you are completely free. And you experienced unbroken joy for so many years. How many years? You don't know. There is no difference between 1 second or 1 yuga, because when time doesn't exist, this calculation of 1 day or 1 minute or 1 yuga doesn't exist at all. Upon waking up, yesterday night, I was very tired. I went to bed. And I woke up very fresh. That is why it is compared by many times to Brahmananda. So much of Shanti. That Shanti is another word for Brahmananda. What is that Brahmananda? It's me manifesting as my own Ananda. It is not something that is not borrowed. That is the most important idea we have been explained by Gaudapada, Shankaracharya, and many other Acharyas. When we enter into the Sushupti Avastha, we get that Ananda. Other two Avasthas, Jagrat and Swapna, is the conditions superimposed upon the mind that make us either happy or unhappy. Here the mind itself does not exist. When the mind disappears, time, space, causation completely disappears. Now the teacher says, my son, now you are ready for that highest teaching. And the teacher tells, you know, if somebody is following the Jnana Marga, what does the teacher say? Tattvamasi, thou art that. And that is being expressed here. Sayaschayam purushe, escha asau adityaye, sa yekaha. He who is here in every man. Each soul is potentially divine. That's what Swami Vivekananda is telling, Tattvamasi. But Tattvamasi is a teaching given through experience by a teacher. But we have to make it our own through manana and nididhyasana. So now the teacher is telling, Sayascha ayam purushe. Yascha ayam purushe. Purushe means in every man, in me, in you, in the mosquito. What is a mosquito? It is a soul. It is a purusha. Here purusha means puri sete iti purushaha. That divinity which is potentially there, it is awaiting the right opportunity. That is called evolution. In the evolution, what happens? Slowly, this mosquito goes on evolving into higher physical bodies and higher minds. Then it becomes a human being. Then it is enveloped by tamas. Slowly, after many hundreds of lives, it becomes evolved into rajoguna, very active, ambitious. That is why Swamiji said something very interesting. Sri Ramakrishna said something very, very interesting. Once Sri Ramakrishna asked somebody, do you love anybody? That person thought, if I say I love somebody, Sri Ramakrishna may say that I am not an intelligent person, I am not a spiritually progressed person. So, not to love somebody is what is called absolute. So that is, let's see, somebody is knocking. Okay, just gently. If I say I don't love somebody, that means I am a great man because my mind is not loving anybody. Stupid fellow did not understand. He may be like a stone. A stone also doesn't love anybody. He said, I don't love anybody. Immediately Sri Ramakrishna said, you are a completely useless fellow. In Bengali he has expressed that idea. That means you are not, it will take a long, long time for you to progress. First, develop the capacity to love. First, develop passion. A fellow who doesn't have passion, he can never develop dispassion. Otherwise, he will be like a stone. Now, the student is ready because all these stages, right from the very beginning, expressed in different Upanishads in different ways. Annam brahmeti vyajanat, pranam brahmeti vyajanat, anandam brahmeti vyajanat, anandam brahma vyajanat. He understood. Brahman is of the nature of ananda. What about me? He should have said, I am of the nature of ananda. Okay, Brahman is happy. Sri Ramakrishna was eating. I make my own light way of presenting it. If Sri Ramakrishna eating nice rasagullas and enjoying, how does it benefit me? I should eat rasagullas. So every person has to reach that state. No, my son, yascha ayam purushaha. That divinity which is in a potential form in you, it has come from that Aditya. Here Aditya represents the Brahman. As I just now explained it, I hope you understood it. We do not exist. Only Aditya exists. Because our body is Aditya's body. Our mind is Aditya's mind. Our time is Aditya's time. We don't have anything to call me. It is a false thing. Yascha asav Aditya, that same Brahman, that same Sat Chit Ananda, that which is most manifest in the Aditya, sa ekaha, that is to say, tat tvam asi. That ekaha means what? Tvam tat asi. You are that. This is the final, this one. And hopefully, because this has been taught to somebody who is absolutely fit, adhikarika purusha, that is a person who is completely fit, so he is called yogya sashya, a worthy disciple. Who is that? Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha adhikari. the person who had developed all these qualities, viveka, vairagya, control over the body, mind, endowed with tremendous shraddha, etc. 9 qualities, by the way, are mentioned there, not 4 qualities. 4 sentences, 9 qualities. And what is that person is endowed with? Tivra mumukshutvam, tremendous longing. I know I am Brahman, but I want to experience it. For such person, out of infinite compassion, Brahman himself, in the form of the Guru, teaches him tattvamasi. And the disciple has to go, like, imagine, Totapuri Maharaj has given, even though in our tradition, Totapuri must have given a Mahavakya called Aham Brahmasmi. Now you meditate upon it and realize it. This is only my experience. This is only my teaching. But you will have to make it your own. Whenever we hear a lecture, we have to make it our own. Otherwise, it only remains enter through one ear and passes out through the other ear. So the teacher had taught him, he who is here, that means potentially here in every living creature, but especially in a man who has gone through all these progressive steps and he understands after going to Brahmaloka, this is also a temporary state. No doubt, it is the greatest expression of joy, but it is also limited because he has to come back from there. And then he who is in yonder sun, means the creator, means the cause. Even Brahma is the effect. Only Brahman is the cause. So the effect must be final effect of this entire creation. The cause of the entire creation is called Brahma. But that is not the final cause. The final cause must be causeless. Brahmaloka, the Brahma of the Brahmaloka, is an effect only. He is the final cause of this entire creation, but he is an effect. Every effect must have a cause, and that cause is Brahman. That is what he wants to say. Then, Sayekaha. And by the way, call him Brahma, call him Saguna Brahma, call him Ishvara, call him Hiranyagarbha. These are all synonymous words used in the Upanishads. Then what happens? This person, he realizes through manana and nididhyasana. Nididhyasana is converting the teacher's words into one's own irreplaceable experience. Now he knows, aham brahmasmi. What happens? Saya evam vit. And a person who has realized, aham brahmasmi, asmat lokat pretya, etamannamayam atmanam upasankramati, etam pranamayam atmanam upasankramati, etam manomayam atmanam upasankramati, etam vijnanamayam atmanam upasankramati, etam anandamayam atmanam upasankramati. Again, we have to take from the end of the first section of the second chapter of this Taittiriya Upanishad, where it begins, you know, the description of annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya and anandamaya. We have to connect it with that. This knower of Brahman, what happens? Asmat lokat pretya. Let me first read the translation. He who knows this, that means I am Brahman, that knowledge, as described above, after dying to, here dying means not the giving up of the body, but withdrawing, detaching oneself from the idea, I am the body and mind. So after dying to this world, dying to this world means death. That means I am not this body, I am not this mind. Attains the self which consists of food, attains the self which consists of the vital breath, attains the self which consists of the mind, attains the self which consists of intellect, attains the self which consists of bliss. Tadapyesha shloko bhavati. On the above, there is also the following mantra, and this we have seen at the end of practically every section, tadapyesha shloko bhavati, which means that what I am saying is absolute truth, and in proof of it, I am going to give you another mantra from Rig Veda, because Taittiriya Upanishad doesn't belong to Rig Veda. So, every Veda is telling the same fact. Here is taking from the Rig Veda. So, regarding what I said is the truth, there is also the following mantra, and that will come in the next section, which is the last section in this second chapter of the Brahmananda Valli. We have traversed for a long distance. What does these things mean? That imagine there is a building and there are 5-storied building and there is a beautiful roof with full of beautiful sky, either day or night, all surrounding. Just imagine, don't become poor in imagination, that marvelous mountainous range like in Mayavati, wherever you see beautiful mountains, snow-clad Himalayas, and you can, if you take a binocular, you can see the beauty of it. So, but one if one wants to enjoy that, what should one do? First of all, he must become Annabrahma. Means, every physical body is me. That is called Annabrahma. That means, Anna means body here. So, every physical world, whatever we experience, living, non-living, everything is me. And how everything is me, we will talk about it a little bit in our next class. But once one climbs to the peak of this Annabrahma through Upasana, which we have already seen, then he says, I thought I climbed to the highest peak, but no, there is another peak much higher than this. Then he climbs the second peak, which is called Pranabrahma. Every prana is none other than my own prana. Then he feels with everybody. Similarly, he goes to Manobrahma. Every mind, every thought, sukha, dukha, creativity, non-creativity, tamoguna, rajoguna, sattvaguna, everything is me. Then he climbs to the next peak. And unless one climbs to the peak of the present, he will not be able to glimpse the other one. So that from Mano Brahma, he climbs to the Vijnana Brahma, then he climbs to the Ananda Brahma, and then he understands. Even this peak also, there is another which is sustaining all these peaks, without which these peaks would not exist at all. And that sustaining force is called Brahman. So, even Anandamaya Brahma, it is only highest expression of happiness, but limited by the mind, pure sattvika mind. And that, perhaps if I understand correctly, is what Sri Ramakrishna describes, that my mind, in the form of Kundalini, climbed to the Agna Chakra, the chakra which is in between the eyebrows. And then we have a glimpse. And at that time, it is irresistible. The sadhaka cannot remain. Then at that time, his self-effort is exhausted. He just becomes like a pure iron filing, as if there is a huge magnetic hill. And now he is pure iron filing without these 5 dusty layers. Then he need not do anything. Just he becomes one with that magnetic hill. That is the goal. Sayaschayam purushe sayekaha. I am that. Nobody can say that. Who is telling I am that? A realized soul is not saying I am that. We are saying that he is saying that I am that. Because when a person is in samadhi, he is not there anymore to say. But for our teaching purpose, tattvamasi is also human teaching. Aham Brahmasmi is also human thought. Jivan Mukti, that is also human thought. Everything that comes out of our mind is a human effort. Beautiful thoughts. We will discuss some more of them in our next class. With this, more or less, the 8th section has come to an end. And in next class, we will enter into the 9th section. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.